Hi, my name is Sally Steenland, and I'm the director of the Faith and Progressive Policy Initiative here at the Center for American Progress. With me today is Zeena Rahman. She's special advisor to the Secretary on Global Youth Issues at the State Department. And there's a lot going on in the world and in New York, where you are at the Clinton Global Initiatives. And it sounds like you just heard an address from the Secretary this morning, and you'll be going to UN events later as well.
Exactly. Hi, Sally. Thank you.
Hi. It's great. So, Zeena, let's get right into it. There's been a lot of news coverage recently of uprisings and unrest in the Middle East in response to a hate-filled anti-Muslim video that was produced in California. Can you tell us what's important for us to know that's either not being covered in the news at all or that should receive more attention?
You know, Sally, I think one of the most salient images that stuck in my mind from the last couple of weeks was the protest, the counter-protest that many Libyan citizens had, not this weekend, but right after Ambassador Stevens was murdered, and that was saying, this is not in our name. And I think that story did get attention, but it should get more attention. And I think, you know, what I've heard over and over from people across the Middle East as I engage young people and listen to their thoughts and concerns is that, you know, this doesn't represent us. And we certainly saw this last weekend from the protests in Libya, you know, that Libyan people are standing up for their voices and what they believe in. I did a web chat with some colleagues from the State Department to our alumni in the region last week on Thursday, and we got a couple of notes from a few people who tuned into that saying that, you know, just so you know, I'm doing my small part. I'm participating in these counter-protests. I hope they help. And so I think the story is that, you know, it obviously that what we saw across our TV screens in the last couple of weeks doesn't represent the majority of people, and that we really do have, I think, a responsibility as policymakers, media people, just regular people, to know what the rest of the story is.
And who are you, when you're getting emails or notes of condolence from colleagues or people you've done outreach with, who's sending you the notes? Just give us a sense of who some of the, you know, you don't have to give names, but are these college students? Are these people who've grown up in Libya? Who are some of the folks who are getting in touch with you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of dynamic young people. So what we've done through, through my office, through our post, is set up youth councils all over the world. And so the youth councils are regular convening spaces that the ambassador will convene young people to talk about issues of concern, to talk about, you know, youth programs and how they could be better. And those people are, you know, young people who've been in our exchange programs, where they've come to the United States for, you know, anywhere from 4 months to a year, to somebody who's just, you know, participated in their own social kind of good program. And so we try to get a vast variety represented at our youth councils, and we're just hearing directly from young people saying, you know, this is not us and we're sorry.
And we know that a lot of these countries are very young countries. So in other words, the median age is a lot younger than it is in Western Europe and in the United States, so that it's really important to focus on youth. What we've heard from a number of critics is, oh, we should just pull out. You know, we should just have no engagement at all. But it sounds like your office is working with young people in a very positive and constructive ways. That, can you talk a little bit more about the youth councils and other things you're doing, and also just say why that is important?
Sure. I mean, I'll start with a quote from the secretary that she gave in Tunisia earlier this year in February, where she said, the wants and needs of young people have been marginalized for far too long, and that if we don't address those needs, it will be kind of at, you know, we will all pay the price of that. So it's not a reactive measure to kind of what we've been seeing. It's, you know, she believes and knows that all of the ideas, the talent, the energy, the innovation comes from young people. And, you know, when I asked her why does she care about this, she says as she travels the world, you know, she often does events just with young people. It's regularly a part of her schedules. And she sees that those people, you know, that young people around the world want their voices to be heard. They want meaningful opportunities to make change. And so the task of my office is to coordinate all of the great programs that happen in throughout the State Department, throughout our embassies, and make sure that we're addressing kind of the needs and concerns directly of young people. And so some of that is just direct engagement through the youth councils and things that I've, you know, talked about. Some of it is making it a priority in our bilateral and multilateral engagement and discussion. So, for example, we had a meeting with our counterparts in Indonesia last week, and youth was one of the key kind of subject matter that we talked about. So both what we can do together, but also how are we elevating youth as a priority across all of our subject areas. And then, you know, I think an important piece of this, I think you can't have the conversation on youth engagement without talking about advancing economic opportunity. And so I've spent a lot of time in these first few months just getting the lay of the land vis-a-vis, you know, private sector and NGOs and multinationals who care about increasing opportunities for young people around the world. And so we're launching something next week called the Youth Livelihoods Alliance. And it's a public-private partnership. It's with the International Youth Foundation. But there's also partners such as Microsoft and Hilton and, you know, many others who are, again, you know, putting their money where their mouth is, who've agreed to join this alliance that we've set up so that we can start elevating this as an issue, talking about best practices, talking about the commitments that we're going to make to improving young people's lives around the world.
You say that this is an investment. The Secretary sees this as an investment, and the State Department and the administration does, and that's really an important word in terms of, you know, both in the short term and in the long term. You've worked when you worked at the Interfaith Youth Corps, you've worked with youth in a variety of instances in various jobs you've had. And in your job now, do you see similarities among youth? So maybe on the surface, youth dress differently, or there's a language difference, or there's an economic difference. But in terms of their concerns and in terms of what's important to them, are there similarities that you see?
I think that's, you know, I can answer that question in two ways. In one way, you know, when I think more about, like, what do young people need beyond their, you know, immediate issues of concern, health and security and, you know, food, it's they want their voices to be heard, and they want to know that they can make a difference. So this idea of giving young people agency, having them believe in their own talent, that they can do it, that's something I've seen, you know, uniformly, whether it's in the civic space, in the interfaith space, you know, and now more as my mandate is just broader. And as I talk to young people around the world, you know, it's just, it's not as easy as saying, you know, you can do it, but it's really like showing them that they can, because it comes from them. So it's not saying we're engaging young people because we don't want you to be, you know, a risk. It's because we believe in you. And I know the Secretary really believes in young people. And this is why she's kind of worked tirelessly to elevate them, just as she has with women and girls.
And it sounds as if, you know, that you have these private sector partners as well, and in a global economy, that makes sense, and that's in everyone's self-interest as well, because business doesn't, you know, stop at national borders anymore. We're all connected in many, many ways.
Absolutely, and, you know, and I think if there's one key theme that we're going to remember, or I think if there's one key theme that we're going to look at the Secretary's first term as Secretary of State as, it's partnership. Mm-hmm. And so that's in all different, you know, that's on all different levels. That's not just partnership with, you know, it's partnership with other countries. It's partnership with the private sector. It's partnership with civil society to say, we don't want to just be speaking to our counterparts overseas. We want to hear from everybody in the countries that we have relationships with, because that's what 21st century diplomacy looks like.
Right. I want to ask you about interfaith efforts in response to this issue, the video and the unrest that it spurred, as well as broader. So what's happening both in America and globally, again, that maybe it's skip the news, maybe the news hasn't, you know, talked about it very much. But what's important for us to know about interfaith efforts?
So last week, or in the last, in the last couple of weeks, I've seen a variety of interfaith responses. And one particular one was a press conference that was done by Muslim community leaders along with Coptic Christian community leaders. I think that was in California, to say, you know, hate is hate, and we denounce both, you know, the film that was vile, but also the violence that happened. And it was, I think, a powerful visual symbol. I think the other story that's not, you know, being told that we should be aware of are the young Muslim religious leaders that have stood up and stood out against the violence of the, you know, the violence that occurred because of the film. And there are, you know, a group of them. YouTube was banned in Egypt and Libya, I think, in the last couple of weeks. So they started a different website called HalalTube, which is, you know, the Muslim word for permissible. And, you know, if you look on that website, you'll see statements from young religious leaders who have huge followings, both in the United States, but also in places like Pakistan and Egypt. And their video statements just denouncing the violence and giving, you know, religious justification from the Muslim and Islamic religious tradition as to why violence is never the answer. Even though the Prophet is, you know, beloved, and even though the Prophet is, an insult to the Prophet is a grave insult, that the course of action is not violent recourse. And so those have been translated in English, in Farsi, Urdu, and Arabic. And I think if more people knew about, you know, that here and overseas, I think it just adds another layer to the story that I think is a really critical one.
Well, more people will know because of what you just said here. So thanks very much for bringing that up. And I just have one last question for you, because certainly these have been challenging weeks, and your portfolio is so huge. It's literally global. So what gives you hope when you get up in the morning and you look at all the meetings you have and some of the events that are happening are out of your control and you don't really know what's going to hit you? What keeps you going?
It's always hearing inspirational stories, like I think it is for anybody. I think stories stay with us in a way that other things don't. And so this morning in New York, I had a really early breakfast meeting, a 7 a.m. meeting, and it was all about efforts for youth mentorship and economic opportunity. And there was a young person on a panel who had grown up in Mombasa and, you know, was supported by one of these programs. And is just thriving, you know, and has kind of gone on to go to high school and then college, both things which were unthinkable for her and her family and her circumstances. And her closing thoughts today were, you know, I hope that in, you know, X number of years, I'm sitting in this audience and I'm part of this group of people that's working to improve and change young people's lives around the world because I was impacted by those programs. So when you hear that, you're like, okay, I know why I have to do what I have to do, and I feel lucky that I do it, that I get the opportunity to do it, and that I get to work for this, you know, great Secretary of State who is such a champion for young people all over the world.
So you have your coffee to give you a little adrenaline, and you have inspiring words to get you through your day. Is what
exactly.
It sounds like. Thank you very, very much, Zeenat. Good luck to you and your good work, and thanks for talking with us.
Sally, thank you so much.
Take care.
I appreciate it.
Perfect.